Hello, and welcome to the third episode of the 7500 to Holt podcast. Today we have a slightly different cast in front of us, or I guess in your ears. First of all, everybody, welcome Aaron Kempo to his first podcast with us.
Hello, everyone.
And, of course, we have Gareth Simpson back.
Hi, everyone.
And because Robert's not around to do the hosting duties, I, Kirsten Schlewitz, will be taking those on. So put in your votes, see if he's better, tell him to come back next week, whatever. But we're going into it now, and we're going to start with what's on everyone's mind even 4 days after its occurrence, which was the loss to West Brom. And this will probably simply be a rant about the many failures which happened on Saturday in the derby against West Brom. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
All right.
It wasn't so much the loss. I don't necessarily care about winning and losing at this point, as long as we win enough and lose not enough to not be relegated. But the way that we went about losing was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. And I mean, it was to the point where after West Brom scored their second goal, and we were, you know, doing whatever the hell it was we were doing, that I was actively trying to convince myself that I didn't care about this team anymore. Like that's how bad it was. And it was just, I mean, from Emil Heskey coming into play, holding midfield, to the decision to pull off the two most creative players on the team and replace them with Emil Heskey and Mark Albrighton, who I like very much, but, you know, he's not really exactly creative. He just kind of runs and crosses. And then, you know, to just go about things by basically pulling back into a shell and hoping you were going to catch someone on the break. It was baffling. I mean, it was everything that everyone was afraid of when McLeish was hired. And it was one of the most frustrating things I've ever watched as a sports fan. And you know, it's not like I root for great teams. So.
Yeah. The funny thing about it is that I would say maybe one of our most depressing losses last season was the 2-1 loss to West Brom, and this was eminently worse. This was so much worse than that game. I don't know, like, yeah, you nailed it with McLeish, because it totally felt like, do you remember seeing Greece play at the World Cup, and it felt like they were protecting a deficit? Like, it felt like we were striving to just keep it to a one-goal loss as opposed to getting blown out, which is just really weird. And I don't know. I can't bring myself to get mad at Phil Dowd, or at least not as mad as a lot of Villa fans have been getting at him, because, you know, it's refereeing. It's a tough job, and that stuff happens to you sometimes. And especially because we very well could have been playing with nine men, because Alan Hutton absolutely deserved to get sent off. For lunging at Shane Long the way he did. It's disgraceful. I don't like the player at all, and he's been confirming my initial impressions. So, yeah, a really, really depressing loss.
Yeah, I think if anyone deserved to be sent off, clearly it was Hutton, and it almost feels like if Hurd hadn't been sent off for no reason, right? Didn't Hutton get sent off, or commit his foul after?
I think he's been kicking Shane Long the whole game, but that was probably the worst occurrence. And yeah,
it just flew through the air. It was ridiculous. I just was sitting there going, how is that not a card? And it's very rare when I do that for someone that's actually wearing a claret and blue. Sure, mm-hmm. You know. Usually I'm yelling at the screen when someone fouls one of our players, but this time I was yelling for Shane Long, which didn't make sense in my mind, but I agree with you, Gareth. I can't stand Alan Hutton, and that really sucks when it's somebody on your own team that you can't stand their style, can't stand their attitude, anything. But I know I was going to say there are definitely plenty of Villa fans out there that were applauding him, that were saying we appreciate his passion. But I don't think it was passion. I think it was just utter stupidity in that tackle.
I mean, Alex McLeish defended him, and it was completely emblematic of the mentality that I absolutely hate that, I mean, surrounds Villa at the moment, where it's sort of brutish, throw yourself at the last man sort of defending that, you know, Richard Dunn has embodied for years now, but in a significantly more dangerous, like, I don't want us to be one of those teams. I don't want us to be Stoke City.
Right. Exactly. And I think, to me, that's the most frustrating thing about it, is that Alan Hutton is this kind of player, and yet, he's that kind of player. And everyone knew this, you know, when he was brought in, and he was handpicked by McLeish to come in, and I mean, it was his guy. And that doesn't say good things about, you know, the direction this club is heading under McLeish. And it's so frustrating because, you know, when I was looking for the positives in his hire, I looked at him bringing in Arteta to Rangers and you know, at least trying to integrate Hleb into Birmingham City and things like that. And, you know, in reality, he's buying players like Alan Hutton, who are dangerous and scummy. And I think the most frustrating thing for me was that, you know, we got rid of Steve Sidwell. And the main reason I hated Steve Sidwell was because he was a dirty player. He made terrible challenges that were going to hurt somebody. And, you know, and he was gone, and that was awesome. And now we have him again, except for the fact that he is going to start pretty much every game that he's healthy for. And it's just, it's a really frustrating place because it's the thing that I hate most about the game are challenges like that and teams that play like that and teams that look at challenges like that as a positive thing. And, you know, I'm, like you said, Gareth, I'm terrified of becoming one of those teams.
I sure don't want to be Stoke City. Who doesn't hate? Well, I guess there are a few people who don't hate Stoke City, but most people absolutely dread playing them, watching them, having to put up with them because it's just so... I wouldn't say anti-football because anti-football is overused, but it's just depressing, I think would be a better word, and frightening when it's your team.
Yeah.
We were kind of ugly, but we certainly played long ball under Martin O'Neill, and it wasn't particularly technically advanced. And this is just so much like the dumbed down version of that. It's that without particularly talented players for one. And it's not going to get us anywhere. It's going to be the club's not going to go anywhere, and there's no real future in that.
I think that's the thing for me is that, you know, Martin O'Neill, yeah, we're definitely a long ball team under Mon, but it was so much more of a refined, well, not refined, but it was supposed to be exciting. It was supposed to be fun to watch. And it was. When it was working, you know, Villa under Martin O'Neill were one of the best teams in the league to watch outside of the, you know, the teams that have kind of moved past playing the more English style of soccer or football or whatever. Sorry, I do an American soccer podcast most of the time, so I'm going to use the plebeian terms. I hope no one's offended.
We can use both. That's fine.
But yeah, I mean, like, when Villa were actually playing long and playing deep, but actually attempting to counterattack, it was fun to watch. And now it's when we get the ball, we just want to hold possession. And eventually somebody's probably going to score, and hey, maybe it'll be us. It's just god-awful.
Well, and I feel terrible for Darren Bent. He's stranded. Like, I thought he got bad service last year, but it's atrocious. There's no, he's like, I don't know, this is very similar to the circumstances under which he got frustrated and left Sunderland. So, I mean, there is absolutely nothing that indicates to me that he's going to stick with Villa if, you know, they continue to not use him to the best of his abilities. He's going to, like, he's a great goal scorer, but he needs to be part of a team that's going to complement his skills, and Villa are certainly not that at the moment.
Well, it doesn't help that we're rarely using actual wingers. They're not getting anything to him. And when we do, then McLeish kind of kowtows to Nzonkbia, which surprises me. and plays him on the right where he thinks he's better, which is strange for one thing, but why is he pandering to that?
The funny thing for me is that I think under ideal circumstances, when there is, you know, when we have a manager that didn't stop paying attention to the game in 1928, and Zogbia playing on the right and Abby or Gabby playing on the left is perfect, because then you're using inverted wingers and, you know, they're attacking the goal. And Bennett's going to have opportunities from rebounds. He's going to have opportunities from just kind of being stationary in the box and, you know, and finding space that way and kind of getting the ball cut back to him from the end line. But that's not what they're doing. It's like we're playing with inverted wingers, but they're not actually playing like inverted wingers. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, like they're playing like wide traditional wingers that are gonna, you know, play in the wide areas and cross the ball in. It's so frustrating because it's like he's throwing me a bone when the lineup comes out, and then when the game actually starts, it's like, whoops, I was just joking. This is gonna be awful to watch, you know. Well, and it's just, yeah.
I've never been convinced of Vic Bonhoeffer as a winger. Like, I don't think he has the positional intelligence to do it. I think he kicks it and runs, which is fine. I mean, I love seeing him play, but he's not, I don't think he's born for that kind of role. I think in Zogbia, you kind of have to cater to a little bit, because I'd probably say he's our most technically skilled player, but I don't think he knows the role he's supposed to be playing. And yeah, I've not been convinced of what exactly our approach, our tactical approach is yet. It seemed to be relatively inconsistent.
I don't think McLeish is convinced of his tactical approach to this, and I think that's the major problem. At what point do we just say that he is not a tactician? He's just not.
He looks shell-shocked to me half the time that I see him, where I really feel like he was expecting to come to Villa and he was going to have these players that he's at his disposal that he just didn't have at Birmingham. And or at Rangers even, and now he's here and he realizes he kind of doesn't, you know, and he's got Nzogbia, but you can't really do that much with one technically good player. And I think Gareth is right. I don't think Gabby is really a winger. You know, it's, if you're going to play with one striker, then, you know, I'd rather see him on the field than not, because he looked so good earlier in the season, but I just don't think he knows what to do, because I think he tricked himself into thinking there was more talent on this team than there actually is, maybe.
Or talent that fits into different positions that McLeish, you know, wants. He just isn't putting the right talent into the right places, I think. Almost.
Yeah, like, listen to him talk after the game, like when he's interviewed, I think this was after the City game, he said, for the first 20 minutes or whatever, I thought we were doing really well. Their fans were really scared. And I'm like, no, like, they cannot possibly have been scared. We're impressive. And for him to think, like, to a certain degree, you understand that he has to posture to the press or whatever. But the worrying thing is that he's genuinely delusional about how terrible this team is.
It kind of makes me miss Houllier, because at least he said exactly what he was thinking. There wasn't a lot of pandering to the press. If not we a were day crap, goes, he said it.
Not a day goes by that I don't miss Houllier.
Absolutely. He's a genuinely intelligent and technically, like, tactically gifted manager. He knows what he's doing, and he got, well, I mean, there are massively extenuating circumstances, but he kind of got job the way he was treated.
The biggest problem with Houllier is that he came in and tried to play the style that he wanted to play at first, and it didn't work. And he doesn't get any credit for the adjustments that he made later on when he realized, hey, I can't play this kind of football here. This isn't going to work right now until I get some more players. And after he made those adjustments, holy crap, they went on a fantastic run. And you know, and then he had his health problem, but they kept doing pretty much the same stuff that he had implemented. And they ended up finishing ninth after beating Liverpool and Arsenal. I mean,
that's it. Yeah, they finished the season excellently.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it took a little while to kind of get for him to get acclimated to the team and the team to get acclimated to him, but they were a really good team at the end of the year. So I don't know. I don't understand how he pulled off Mark Albrighton on, you know, when he was having a pretty mediocre game and got met with chance of you don't know what you're doing. And McLeish, who people spray painted and vandalized the training ground when he was interviewed, brings on Heskey for Nzogbia, and there's nothing. I just don't get it. I don't understand the hatred that there was for Houllier.
I think they did chant when he pulled off Bannon, and that was for Mark Albrighton, who Villa fans love. But yeah, it's the same. I just don't think that Villa fans like Nzogbia at all. So I don't think you're going to get that same kind of reaction. But no, there's not a lot of fire and hatred going against McLeish, which I was expecting there to be by this point.
Yeah. I'm shocked that they haven't been calling for his head, because I almost feel like they gave Houllier less time than they've been giving McLeish, and he has done virtually nothing to earn it. Like, well, what's the most impressive performance we had all season? Was it beating Blackburn? Because that's Blackburn. So
right.
I don't think you can really measure it by that. I think Houllier had some genuinely impressive performances, even if they weren't necessarily in wins, as we saw in that Manchester United game last season. But, oh, goodness gracious, it's terrible.
Yeah. He's pretty awful, and it's just terrible because I want him gone so badly, but I know that that's not happening anytime soon unless we get relegated.
Oh, God.
And
I have such trouble advocating for a manager to get fired, particularly considering that we've had, five managers over the last two or three seasons.
Right. Like,
you can't push on with that kind of instability, but I think we do have to stand back and say this McLeish was clearly the wrong choice for the job.
Yeah, I think so. Based on what we know, and I think we're all reasonable enough people that we would say, well, we don't know everything and we could be wrong, but at this point it sure as hell doesn't look like it was the right call.
So do you guys think that there was anything positive to take from that West Brom game?
No.
Not really, no. Like, we scored a goal, but it was unimpressive, and it was under circumstances that were, well, equally unimpressive. It was just an awful game.
Yeah, I mean, Bannon had that shot that was pretty good.
Right. We've got one thing. I mean, what about, was Hurd all right before he got sent off? I mean, I know that once somebody gets sent off, kind of there's an enhancing kind of taint, not taint, but, you know, it's kind of painted with better brush strokes, his performance. Do you guys think that he was playing well before he got sent off? What do you think?
He was okay in a very one-dimensional kill everybody sort of sense. I mean, you know, not a lot was getting past him. He was doing what he, I think, was put in to do, but there was nothing that really made me say, wow, Chris Hurd has really progressed as a player.
I mean, he wasn't awful, and I guess it's good for him to be getting sort of Premier League experience, but, I mean, if that's really the yardstick by which we're measuring Villa players at this point.
I think for me, I was just happy to not see Stephen Ireland on the field. I think that's what made him look better to me, quite honestly.
Yeah, and he definitely, I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, which was, you know, disrupt their midfield, and there's nothing that discouraged me, but I would feel a lot better if it was Petrov that was sitting on the bench.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about his performance the other day.
It was shitty.
I genuinely don't understand why a Premier League football team would start a player like Cillian Petrov. He has pretty much no redeeming qualities. Like, he's there because we need to put 11 people on the field.
You don't think that there's other people that we could use instead of that particular 11th player?
Well, I mean, I'm considerably less opposed to Stephen Ireland than you are, but that's not a big step up.
I would rather see Ireland than Petrov, yeah. at least, I mean, Ireland goes recklessly towards goal with it, with no real idea of what he's trying to do, but at least he goes towards goal. There were so many occasions in that game where Petrov got the ball in a pretty decent area with a lot of space and someone making a good run ahead of him and looked at them and stopped and passed backwards. And it's just, you know, I don't know what could be going through his head when he's doing that. And it's, you know, it's, he hasn't always been that way. I mean, he was a perfectly serviceable player a few years ago. But you know, he's gotten older. Maybe he just doesn't get into the system as well. I don't know, but he's awful and needs to not play.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But I feel like I've been saying that over and over for at least the last year.
We all have. It's not going to happen. So
speaking of stupid things, Gareth, your stupidest, dumbest player for the week.
We've covered it already, basically. It's Alan Hutton. It's clearly Alan Hutton because Alan Hutton is a mental Scotsman. And, speaking of no redeeming qualities, he absolutely should have been sent off for a tackle on Shane Long. I don't understand why at this point a player like that should be starting for us. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what he can produce. And it's especially disappointing considering we had the pleasure of seeing Kyle Walker play that position last year, and he was one of our best players. And this is such a massive step down. It's not a single step down. It's falling down a flight of stairs. It's absolutely disgraceful. And of course, honorable mention go to Alex McLeish for signing him and then everything he's done since then.
And of course, the most obvious award of this could not go to Barry Bannon because why?
Because that's actually a crime, and I don't want to trivialize a crime by, you know, another stupid segment.
That makes sense. All right, so let's take a couple minutes to discuss the great Bannon criminality of 2011.
We were saying before the recording that he's far from the first footballer to be arrested under drunk driving, and I guess I can't call to mind, but it seems to me like they're not always suspended for it. So if that's the rationale we're going by, I would prefer that they, even though I obviously am completely opposed to whatever he did, if we don't have to suspend him, I don't think we should suspend him because he's basically one of our best players, and we need our best players to be playing during this important period where we need to actually be collecting all of our points for the season before we have to face the teams that can actually play.
But at the same,
I would actually tend to agree with you, but I kind of understand also why they're doing it. In a perfect world, you know, I wish they wouldn't suspend him, but I feel like McLeish is just is so much in winning people over mode that he feels like he has to come off as a strict disciplinarian and all that. So but I do agree. I know he's gonna have to pay fines and he might have to do community service and stuff like that, and I just feel like if I were to commit a crime, I wouldn't get suspended from my job. I don't really see how they're connected, but whatever.
And I also think if you've got a manager that's willing to impose fines on silly yellow cards, that he's probably going to be the one that's going to whip this team into shape in terms of off the pitch actions. That is one thing that Villa certainly had a problem with last season, and that was kind of getting in the way of what would be happening on the pitch. So as much as I don't want to suffer through next week's match without Barry Bannon, it's kind of gotta happen, I feel like, because he's an idiot anyway.
He really is. Yeah. He really is. I mean, I will never really understand how professional athletes get into these situations. I mean, I'm a fan of spirits, as I think everyone knows. I also drive a car. But, you know, I don't put myself in situations where I'm going to be driving when I'm hammered, like he apparently was, and or allegedly was, I guess. And, you know, I can't really afford to take cabs, and the bus service in Seattle is terrible, and yet somehow I figure it out. I manage. And it seems like, you know, if you're a professional footballer, you have the kind of resources at your disposal that somebody like Barry Bannon does, you're going to figure out a way not to get busted. But at the same time, he's 21 years old, and it was a stupid thing to do, but God knows I did lots of stupid things when I was 21. I hope he learns from it, and I also kind of hope that it's not something that people, at least the fans, hold against him too much going forward.
I'm not sure that with the amount of drinking that many football fans do, they can be holding this over his head forever. I mean, in my opinion, yeah, he's young. He does need a bit of an additional punishment because he has worked this hard to get into the team. And maybe this sort of thing will make him realize, all right, I shouldn't be this stupid anymore. But at the same time, yeah, it doesn't need to be held over his head for ages and ages.
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, is if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure he got into some trouble when he was at Blackpool for not the same thing, but for drinking too much. You know,
wasn't he dancing on tables when he was supposed to be injured?
I believe so. Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like this is an isolated incident necessarily in terms of, you know, the kinds of behaviors you would expect from him. So, you know, he probably needs a little kick in the ass, and I hope this works.
I think I have an idea. I have a solution to this problem, and it's putting Stephen Ireland in his ridiculous car to work by offering him as a car service to all of the Villa players, and he'll just stay in one of his many homes and then get a call from Barry Bannon or from Mark Albrighton saying, Stephen, I'm hammered. Can you come pick me up? And, yeah, I think he'd really earn his money.
It's a good idea, but how do we know Ireland isn't going to be hammered? Yeah,
I actually suggest that would be a good role for Habib Bey.
Yeah. Bey doesn't have a ridiculous, well, I mean, maybe he has a ridiculous car because he is a professional football player.
He has a Ferrari.
Oh, well, I mean, that doesn't seat too many people, so what if they're having a party?
That's true, it only seats two.
Don't think that Mark Albrighton and Barry Bannon could fit in the front seat together?
That's a good
point. I don't know. I don't think Stephen Ireland, hopefully Stephen Ireland doesn't get drunk on a regular basis, because I have a feeling he's genuinely like mentally ill. I'm concerned for him.
I think you're probably right. I mean, he made up two separate deaths of grandmothers to try to cover his ass for not wanting to play for Ireland. So
I'm almost certain I saw him have an out-of-body experience when in his first game against Newcastle. His spirit left his body.
I think you're right. I think he's certifiably insane, but it's too bad that he can't be insane in like the good, like, you know,
Mario Balotelli,
insane, or Mario Balotelli, or you know, whatever.
I was just trying to give Gareth an opening to talk about his favorite player.
I love Mario Balotelli so much, so much.
I do too. I mean, he doesn't do anything that I find particularly like, he's obviously a bad person. I mean, he does stupid shit all the time, but he's also, you know, very young and has grown up in like a really, really, really weird and sheltered existence. And then he does these things that are totally awesome. And hey, he's also like, you know, probably the best striker of his generation. So
The thing that is genuinely like proof of how absolutely stupid a lot of football fans are is that there are probably more football fans out there that hate Mario Balotelli for what he does than, I don't know, players like Ryan Shawcross or Alan Hutton, like terrible, dirty players.
Right.
Those guys skate by because they're passionate and genuinely like fun. Yeah, I don't think you really like football if you don't like Mario Balotelli. I've said it.
How can you not think somebody's passionate who drives around downtown Manchester high-fiving fans of his team? That's passion. And
yeah, totally.
It's not hurting anyone.
I like the idea that being a total cock makes you passionate, and the idea that you can like enjoy playing a sport for a living makes you a douchebag that everyone hates. It's just so weird. It's like if I were a professional athlete, I would be in such an amazing mood all the time. And then when, you know, when people are that way, they're totally castigated. It's just really weird. It's a really weird sort of, you know,
yeah,
disconnect.
I have a hard time, like, when people, you know, American football players are or whatever, I'm like, well, if I was Mario Balotelli's age and I looked like Mario Balotelli, I would be an asshole to everyone all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yet he, like, you know, chastises bullies and gives homeless people money. Like, come on. Come on.
Guys, you gave me absolutely no way to transition into talking about our hated rivals, Birmingham City. So that was my transition right there.
Well done.
Thank you. I'm not as good at this as Robert is. He needs to come back. But speaking of the scum, the blue noses, whatever we wish to call them that is appropriate for the air. No, I don't care. We can curse on this. They are currently 8th in the championship, but they're moving up really quickly. So it kind of looks like they might be back in the Premier League next season. What do you guys think about that?
Sucks.
I don't know. I don't think they can have the power to stay in, because they're a decent sized club. I think they historically have been sort of a yo-yo between the top division and the second division. But I can't fathom how they would sustain this sort of pace over a whole season when you consider the sort of external circumstances going on with their ownership, and how I'm pretty sure they only have 11 players total on their so an injury will absolutely ruin them. And I was thinking of this when you were trying to segue. I don't know if I could name a single player for their team right now.
Oh, you
couldn't? They sold so many of them, right? Like, they sold Larson and Gardner to Sunderland, and they sold Foster. I'm out. I don't know.
You couldn't
they
name
still have Scott Dan.
They have the special agent Ridgewell.
They do.
Ridgewell, did he not escape that sinking ship?
No, he's not stay there. We have him planted there.
And they still have Scott Dan, who is, I think, their best player.
I guess he confuses Stephen Carr. Sorry.
Yeah. And they have Jonathan Spector, guys.
Ooh.
The worst American player in England.
They don't have Scott Dan. He's at Rovers, which is pretty much a championship team. But they do have Carr. It's the same thing, really.
Okay. Yeah. Well, but Scott Dan is actually, you know, good in addition to being a total prick. So he's got that going for him.
Well, I don't think he'll be able to save Blackburn.
No, probably not. I mean, they'll probably come up in the next year or two and then go down again. And, I mean, I'm actually kind of secretly rooting for them to get past the group stage, because I want to see them play like a team that falls out of the Champions League or, you know, one of the Portuguese teams. Like, I think that Benfica is in Europa this year. I mean, how amazing would it be to see Birmingham City go play Benfica in Portugal? Like, it would just be the most ridiculous thing ever. So, you know, it's whatever. Yeah, they're in the Europa League, but you know, they're also in the championship. So
I do have to say it's pretty impressive that they're winning their games. Like, they won in the 100th minute or something in their last Europa League game, and they still have 4 league wins in a row in the championship. It annoys me, but it's impressive.
They have a likable manager. Like, I like Chris Hughton, and I don't think I can stop liking Chris Hughton, like, just because he manages Birmingham. I'm trying, trust me. But I mean, when you consider that he's a decent sort of up-and-coming manager. He was treated horribly by Newcastle United. So I have certain sympathies for him that, you know, I want him to do well, but preferably without Birmingham doing well. So hopefully he finds a new job soon.
That would be nice, yeah.
We could just swap.
That would work for me. I mean, it's really annoying to me that, you know, that they ended up with a manager who I think is objectively better, that still plays a style of football that suits the talent that Villa has, but that is not, you know, suicide inducing to watch. Like, it's just, I mean, the only thing that you can say about McLeish is that he has a better resume, or, you know, for whatever really that means in soccer, which I don't think is that much. It's annoying as hell that.
Well, I don't know if he does really have a much better resume, because he built his resume winning a whole bunch of stuff with Rangers, which is basically like flipping a coin.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's definitely true. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, speaking of managers, I love Norwich, but part of me kind of hopes they get relegated so we could hire Paul Lambert, because I think he's a brilliant manager.
I'd be okay with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not even necessarily, now that I've seen how bad it can get, I don't really care that we play beautiful football. I just want to play football that's not atrocious. And, you know, I'm fine with anyone that can do that at this point.
And on the note of football not being atrocious, let's move on to Sunderland and the hopes that we play slightly less suicide-inducing football next week. Is someone yawning?
I did. I'm exhausted.
To be fair, you did say the word Sunderland.
That's true.
They are an atrocious football team.
They really are. Yeah.
They just got their first away win of the season. How can they be that atrocious, guys?
Oh, it's pretty easy.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I mean, I think Villa will probably win a game away from Villa Park this season. I hope. But, you know.
Is this at Sunderland? Like, it's not at Villa Park?
No, it's at Stadium of Light.
Woohoo! Wow. I love that name.
This is the first time Darren Bent has gone back there since we signed him.
It sure is.
I'm excited to hear that. Oh, man.
That's going to be fun. I would imagine they'll be throwing pounds or fake pound notes or whatever they do over there.
As long as they're not stupid enough to throw bananas, it's fine with me.
That's true. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, it would probably help if Darren Bent, I mean, I know we talked earlier about him not having the right kind of service or whatever, but he would probably make a better impression, shall I say, if he didn't sky his shots into orbit when he's at this Stadium of Light. That might help.
It might, yeah.
Well, and it's funny because he's usually such a, like, that's his one skill, is that he finishes well, right? It's so bizarre to see him miss a good chance like that. But I imagine he just seems like the sort of player who loves to score against the club he used to play for. So.
Right, because then he can do the thing where he doesn't celebrate and everyone's like, oh, what a classy guy.
Oh, no, I think he'll celebrate.
Really? No, you think so?
I saw an article in one of the Birmingham newspapers where he's like, Darren Bent pledges he won't celebrate if he scores at Sunderland.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, Milner did that thing, and everyone is like, oh, James, we love you so much.
Well, everyone, we all love James even when he left. The Sunderland fans wanted to kill Darren Bent.
That's true.
He was fucking excellent in the game against Manchester United. He was great. I felt so good for him.
Milner? Yeah, I know. It's now that he's actually playing regularly, I don't care anymore. Like, good for him. Whatever.
Well, and to see him playing that well, it's like, well, yeah, you really shouldn't be playing for us because you would be wasted.
Right, exactly. Oh, my God, would he be wasted?
Yeah, I think the most difficult part for me with that was when City took him and didn't use him for that long. And it was just like, really? Can we just have him back now? Because you're doing nothing with him.
But now he's playing, you know, fairly often and playing very well, so...
Mm-hmm. It's fine. We can just all concentrate our hate on Stuart Downing.
And he's terrible.
He's started a lot, but he's not really done much of anything. And I'd like the three of us for saying the word wasted a whole bunch without making a Barry Bannon joke. I think that was admirable.
It's true. So do we know anything about Sunderland other than the fact that they're just shitty to watch? I mean, they have Seb Larson, which is cool.
They have Seb Larson. They have Craig Gardner as well.
They have Sessegnon, who we wanted.
Right. Right, which seems kind of silly now in retrospect.
Well, yeah, he probably just would have been sold off this summer anyway, but
right.
But he did score last week.
We would never buy Sessegnon because he doesn't have any Premier League experience.
Oh, right. You're right. Sorry. How foolish of me.
Yeah. So, I mean, what he would need to do is spend, you know, about 6 months sitting on the bench, and then we'd loan him out to Greece.
Right. And he would go on to be fantastic in Greece, and his paychecks would bounce.
Wait, did we just loan him to Greece? Or
we did. Yeah, he was
loaned. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we sold him.
No, I mean, I don't think the Greek clubs are really in any position to be paying anything for anyone at this point.
Couldn't you say that for, like, all of Greece?
Well, right, yeah. But, I mean, I doubt he ever plays for Villa again.
Oh.
I know, right?
You gave me hope for just a few seconds.
You know, what the fuck do we need with a competent midfielder who can score goals in the Champions League? Like, I don't know what he'd do with Villa. My God, I mean... You know, placeholder for Stylian Petrov, you know, number two, understudy. Think you could do that?
Well, and in reality, you know what? McCoon would probably not be, he would probably be pointless in the style we play. I mean, yeah. There's probably no need for him with the kind of, because he's not, I mean, he's a holding midfielder, but he's not a great defensive player. His passes in the air aren't very good. So, yeah, I mean, what do we need him for? Because we're going to play really horrible, horrible football. So, why, you know? Let baby bird fly free, I guess.
He would fit in the sense that he is also one for a reckless tackle. So.
Well, that is true.
Yeah. Yeah. That's people, instead of saying, you know, look at how he can complete 120 passes against Manchester United, we should have said, look at how he gets stuck in, guys. That's the angle we should have taken.
Absolutely, yeah.
We'll keep that in mind next year. The most interesting thing to me, though, to bring it back around to Sunderland, is that they had Asamoah Gyan, who I actually love, despite the fact that he's knocked the U.S. out of the World Cup like twice now. but I think he's amazing, and they had him, and now he's playing in Qatar or the UAE, one of the two. And I don't understand how they, because they didn't sell him, they loaned him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like Sunderland is in terrible financial shape. So they don't really have strikers, but they let their best one go play in the Middle East. And I don't really understand that dynamic. And I also don't understand why someone as good as Asamoah Gyan would want to play in, you know, Qatar or the UAE, but I'm guessing it has something to do with money. But it's still a really weird decision that they would make.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't, I guess I don't really know, but maybe he wasn't fitting particularly well with the club or the style Steve Bruce wanted to play, but he was productive. I remember, like, he scored.
Yeah, he had a great year last year after coming over, I thought.
Weird.
It's very weird. I'm sad that he's, I guess I'm not sad that he's not going to be playing because he's really good, but I'm sad that I won't get to see him play out here. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it just seems like it has to be a money thing. There's really no other explanation for that.
Right. And that exhausts my knowledge of Sunderland, a guy that used to play for them.
And we have a guy that used to play for them.
Right. Yeah. It's really it's a tale of two strikers.
Well, there's one more thing about the Sunderland match. We've had a question from George in which he wanted us to talk about if Carlos Cuellar, who came back to replace the evil Alan Hutton, will be playing, and if he is, where do we think he'll be playing?
I think he'll be playing. I don't ever think Carlos Cuellar will start a game. I certainly don't think he'd start at Hutton, because I think Alex simply loves Hutton. And he's, I mean, almost legitimately, he's below Kieran Clark as a center back. So I don't see him starting.
Well, has there been any update on Hutton's injury? Because I'd heard yesterday that he's actually going to be questionable for this game, that his injury was a lot worse than they thought it was. So in that case, I think he probably does start, and he probably starts it right back. If Hutton is healthy, then yeah, there's no way Cuellar starts.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I think that Cuellar still has something of value to this team in terms of a rotation in the back. But yeah, I think Gareth's right in that Clark is better at the center, and Cuellar is a natural center back. So don't know what to do there. But at the same time, given the hate for Hutton, I'd be perfectly happy just to put Cuellar back. Do we have another right back?
Nope.
We used to have Luke Young, but we sold him because apparently we didn't need him, even though he's not really that bad.
No, I mean, he's a horror, and he's not like a particularly inspiring player, but he's fine. He's a hell of a lot better than Hutton. But no, I mean, that was it pretty much. Hurd can play right back. I think that's it, really.
I thought Lehigh could play both sides.
Well, he can, but he's God knows if he's even going to play again this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a natural right back, but in terms of who we have available,
Yeah, that's true. We don't know if he'd ever. We have no idea about his injury, right?
No, I mean, I think it's a torn hip flexor, so it's kind of one of those things where, I think the recovery is pretty variable. So, I mean, he could be back sometime around December, I think was the optimistic end of the time frame. But I'm thinking he probably doesn't play again this year, at least for the senior team.
All right, Villa fans, raise your hands if you actually knew that Eric Lehigh was injured, because I'm betting it's probably not a lot of you.
Well, I kind of have to.
Yes, you do.
Villa fans, share the special relationship that Aaron has with Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if anyone is going to know that Eric Lehigh is injured, it would be me. So, but I feel bad because I didn't.
We are in the minority of Villa fans who can actually pronounce Eric Lehigh's name first try.
It's true. I still hear English people say Lesage, which sounds really cool to me.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun name.
But his brother on Twitter, who was so big about beating it into people that it was Lehigh, I think if you're an American, you probably know by now too, especially since he's gotten a couple of caps and everything.
His brother's not the one that runs that Twitter account, is it?
I'm 99% sure that it is, yeah.
Okay. It seemed a very girlish account to me.
I thought so too. But...
Sorry, Eric Lehigh's brother. You are the one.
You're definitely listening.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's true. Ever since Eric Lehigh got on Twitter, I have barely seen that account anymore, too.
So maybe it was actually Eric Lehigh that was running that account?
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been.
Well, this just came to my mind. Lehigh is clearly not able to do much right now because he's injured. We can say, Eric Lehigh, I think he should come on our podcast. We'll have a little chat.
He was supposed to call me on my birthday and he never did, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Wow, it's been 10 months now? He's a little late.
I know. What a jerk.
All right. So, anybody have anything else other than knowing how to pronounce Lehigh's last name?
Well, should we actually go ahead and, make a prediction or something for the Sunderland game?
1-0 Sunderland.
Oh, God. I don't know. I think we might actually score. Because I think Darren Bent will want to score, but I think it'll be 1-1.
Well, yeah. Darren Bent can want to score all he wants, but he's not actually the kind of player that creates for himself. So, we'll see what happens. But
I think it's another boring draw, but I'm going to go with 1-1 as well. I'll say Bent scores a penalty that isn't maybe really a penalty.
That seems familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so on that note of familiarity, we will leave y'all. Hopefully things will go well on Saturday, and we will be back sometime next week. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.